Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to look at the verse number 27. I have been wanting to do a study on these, on 1 Corinthians 11 and 12, and really go through it in detail. And if the Lord will let me, I will bring it to you. But tonight, I wanted to bring verse number 27 to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, and it is great to be in your house tonight. I am thankful, Father, for your children and Father, my brothers and sisters who've come to fellowship and to draw closer to each other as we draw closer to you. There's one among us tonight that's not saved, that does not know Christ as their Savior. It's not sure heaven's their home. I pray, God, you would speak to their heart. And for us, God, you would challenge us to a greater walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 27 says, where it says, "Now ye," speaking of the members there at the First Baptist Church of Corinth, they were members of the body of Christ. But I also thought it was interesting. He said, "You're the body of Christ and members in particular." As you're reading through the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that there was a lot of bigotry. There was a lot of, not really a class system, but there was the fact that, you know, I'm better than you are because I was baptized by Apollos or Paul, and you're only baptized by Apollos, or I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile, so that makes me a super Christian. And there was just a lot of that going on, or Ray's got like the gift of prophecy and all I got is just the gifts of help. So he's like the Superman Christian because he's got the gift of prophecy. And it, there's all kinds of that garbage going on in the church. So when he kept talking about being one body in Christ, he was talking about the division and schism in the church. But I want you to focus on the fact that now ye, speaking of them, are the body of Christ. And the thing that jumped out at me was, you realize that God no longer fills buildings with his glory. Not like the day when Solomon made that pulpit of wood and stood out there and read the law to the people. And he made all the sacrifices. And when the singers began to sing, the Shekinah glory of God came down into the temple to where no one could stand in it. It was so powerful. Now you and I, as Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He fills his people. He fills his people. Because the church is not this beautiful building that we have. The church is the people. And he fills us. We are now the body of, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 tells us. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the body he is now living in. You see, when Christ came to earth, he was born in a physical body. When he walked on this earth, he was in a physical body. He traveled in a physical body. He ministered in a physical body. He preached in a physical body. And he was crucified in a physical body. He died with a physical body. Then he rose again with a physical body, contrary to some cults who believe it was just spiritual. He bodily walked out of that grave. He had a body. Well, now that he's ascended into heaven, do you realize that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That the Holy Ghost needs us, our body, to do the ministry that he wants to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again." The Holy Spirit now resides in me, now that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And it is this body he wants to use. Your saved sister, God wants to use your body. Brother, God wants to use your body. God wants to use your body. This is the body he now resides in. This is the body he wants to minister in. This is the body he wants to preach in. This is the body he wants to carry the Great Commission in. This is the body he wants to help people with. That's your body. Your body. He wants to minister in and through you. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, if you'll follow with me, please. Romans, chapter number 6, and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Let not sin reign in your mortal, therefore in your reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." It goes on through to verse 18 talking about that. Your body is the body the Holy Spirit wants to minister through. And I've got to admit, the majority, 99% of the work the Holy Spirit does is through people and to those people. You realize you're the mind Christ thinks through. You really are. You're the hands which Christ ministers through. You're the heart Christ loves people through. You're the voice Christ speaks people through. If somebody's going to be comforted, we're to comfort those with the comfort we have been comforted with, 2 Corinthians 1 tells us. That he is comforting people through us. If someone gets taught, it's because God taught them through us. You understand, we're the body the Holy Spirit wants to use. I was searching through the internet for some really cool illustrations, and sometimes I just come up dry on certain subjects. You know what I'm talking about? There's days when you find neat things that really explain a point, and then sometimes you... Well, I was searching for an idea. What does that mean? And there are several stories of how in World War II, and they can't get it right whether it was in France or in Germany or in England, but there was a Catholic cathedral with a large statue of Jesus Christ with his hands out like this. And during a bombing, a girder fell and sheared off the hands of Christ. When they started to put, well, they don't bite, don't worry about it. When they put the statue back up where it was supposed to be, they couldn't find the hands of Christ. An artist down the street, a man who works in ceramics, I think, offered to make hands for the statue. But the church opted instead to put the statue up with its arms out and no hands, and right underneath it, your hands are his hands. You've got to understand, yes, the Holy Spirit will find a way, but the truth is he wants to use your body. He wants to use you. If somebody's going to be guided, it's because he guided them through you. If somebody's going to be strengthened, because he strengthened them through you. And our selfishness many times will not only grieve the Holy Spirit, but will hinder the Holy Spirit. Who's got a ball cap? Thank you, Steve. There you go. There you go. Wait till he gets into that hot sauce. There you go. Thank you, brother. All right. Thank you, brother. He got him. He got him. His hands. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. God wants to work through your hands. That's right. He just comforted you through Steve's hands. He just protected you through Steve's hands, didn't he? And in like manner, we think the Holy Spirit is some mystical fog that goes from person to person and somehow zaps people into doing things. No, as we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as Romans 6 says, our members are turned over to him for his use, for righteousness. We are turning ourselves over to him. But when we're selfish, when we don't submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we not only quench him, but we hinder his ability to do the things he wants to do. When we're not in church, we're not there to encourage one another. When we're not in fellowshipping with people, we're not raising each other up and comforting each other. And the byproduct, listen, of the Holy Spirit, the byproduct of us turning ourselves over to the Holy Spirit so that he can minister through us is the fact that he will in turn minister to us. Yes, minister through us, but he'll also minister to us. You reap what you sow. And if you're someone who turns yourself over to the Holy Spirit to comfort others, God will in turn comfort you. When you turn over your body to teach others and feed them the Word of God, you in turn will be fed. I learned so much just studying to bring a message. I get so much out of it. Plus, the daily readings that we get to do. If you're not a part of the daily text that Brother Chris and Brother Jim will send out, man, you need to get on that list. Because every day they're ministering to us through the Word. And people say, well, I'm not being fed. People say that to me. Typically when they're about to leave the church, they'll say, well, I'm not getting fed. And I'll say, well, then who are you feeding? You reap what you sow. Get your Bible and get your first and second grade boys class. That's how I learned. And I taught those little boys, and I learned all my stories of the Bible by teaching them. Well, I just don't feel loved. I don't feel loved. Well, who are you loving? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you're not being comforted, you're not being, who are you doing? You say, well, I love on somebody. And you'd be surprised what God will do. It's the same in a marriage. A lot of times we think to ourselves, well, I'm not getting my needs met. Well, how much effort are you putting into meeting your spouse's needs? You reap what you sow. If you will unconditionally meet your spouse's needs, you're going to find out it's coming back. It's coming back to you. Why? The Holy Spirit of God not only ministers through you, He ministers to you while He's ministering through you. You are the body of the Holy Spirit. You're the body. You're the hands. You're the feet. You're the mouth. You're the shoulders. You're the arms. You're the one. He thinks through your mind. If you'll talk to Him, He'll talk to you. He comforts through you. He ministers through you. He teaches through you. He guides through you. If you'll submit yourself to Him. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not my life anymore. Now that I'm saved, now that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I am now quickened, made alive with His life. I have life imparted to me, if you remember the message on the doctrine of salvation. It's His life given to each one of us when we were born again. It's His life to be lived through us. It's not ours. We are dead to this world. We're dead to sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. And then, with that in mind, let me read 2 Corinthians 5:15 to you again. And that He died, speaking of Christ, He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Now, God not only gives us His life, He gives us a purpose. He wants to live through us. This week, did Christ encourage somebody this week through you? Did Christ comfort someone this week? Did Christ minister to someone? Week's not over. The week's not over. Did you lift somebody up today? Did you direct someone today? Did you impart the word to somebody today? That's Christ wanting to minister to you. But it all starts in salvation. Have you realized you're a sinner? If you realize that sin has a cost, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says that God commended His love toward us. He showed His love toward us in that He died for us. Do you realize He took our place? I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I said, Christ took my place on the cross. Christ took your place on the cross. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you repented of your sin and trusted Christ? If not, now is the time. But remember, you're not saved to sit. You're not saved for no purpose. You're saved for a reason. And that reason is His life through you. You're the body of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love You. And I'm thankful, Father, that it is You that have made us alive. It is You and Your Spirit. Father, You've done so much for us. Now, Father, we ask, afresh and anew, use us for Your glory. Glorify Yourself in our life. It's really Your life through us. So glorify Yourself. And may others find Christ through us. The Greeks said to Philip, we would see Jesus. And Father, I realize the people we work with, we go to school with, the people who live with us, the people who live in our neighborhood are dying to see Jesus. Let them see Jesus through us. Bless us tonight as we continue to fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. A couple quick house.